Today I'm going to give a talk about optical gravitational and radio signature of dark matter induced neutron star implosion. This is a work done with Joe and Tim, and this is the first paper on archive this June. So doesn't matter. So I'm a fifth year PhD student at Cornell, so if I cannot answer any question, it's because I'm very nervous. I have some other work that is very related to the workshop, so I see a lot of this picture from Eders and Adam's talk. So I make it very small, so you cannot ask any question. But we put we can put a new like thermal target that is theoretically quite motivated. That is called Elder on the thermal target. And with Tracy, we're thinking about merging this Elder with the non-forbidden dark matter program. And with Maxime, we're doing this using new hopes for new physics, using neutrino detectors to see new physics. With the student Gabriel there, and another student, we're probing a heavy neutral lepton in the ship, another experiment. And also in Borexino, we study this energy transition for this cerium we talk about that can emit the light scatter and be detected in the Borexino detector. So today I'm only going to focus on this, but we can chat about the other things in more detail. Okay, so here's the outline. First, I will give an introduction to the dark matter induced neutron star implosions. I will talk about the astrophysical signature, kilonova events, and our process elements. I'll talk about more optical signature, gravitational signature, the combined signature, and then the radio signature. Then I'll give the conclusion and outlook. Good. So asymmetric dark matter is a dark matter with particle-antiparticle asymmetry, often linked to baryon-lepton asymmetry. And asymmetry often sets dark matter radic abundance. So dark matter asymmetry allows efficient collection and collapse, as Francesco talked about. And there's a lot of amazing paper published on this direction. And in our audience, there are Chris and Malcolm that also consider this.
Our paper was more amazing than that paper.
All right. but he probably has more, so. I don't know. Yeah, so. And primordial black hole also was proposed that maybe it can also implode neutron star, but the rate is small for the signature we consider. And you can see more detail in this paper. I will not talk about this. Good. So there are four processes that are important for the dark matter implosion for the neutron star. First is this dark matter capture, then it's the dark matter thermalized, and then it will collapse into a black hole. Eventually, the black hole will consume the neutron star. So in this talk, I will go through the process using PEV to EEV dark matter as an example. So how to motivate this very heavy dark matter, like Joe and James has good paper on this. And for other mass range, Joe and his advisor long ago, and Joe and Fatima also.
Glad you're seeing an order of increasing amazingness.
Yes, yes.
I think so. No.
Yes, so good. So I have a phenomenological reason to consider PEV to EEV, and I will talk about it later. But you can extend this consideration to other mass range. Good. So as Nirmal and Chris talk about, so this Philippe also discussed the dark matter capture. So if we assume that sigma nx is larger than this, and then the capture rate will be proportional to rho x times sigma nx divided by vx. Good. Now I want to define a dark matter capture time, tc. It's from no dark matter to when you can accumulate the critical mass. Now this tc will be proportional to vx divided by rho x, and it's just inverse of this. The more detail you can see this, also amazing paper, and the author also in the audience, like Robert is in the audience. Oh, no, Robert is not. No, Marsha is not. Yes. Good, sorry. So dark matter will thermalize after repeated scattering, and it will result in the dark matter has the same temperature and settle in the center of the neutron star. Now, this dark matter will collapse when you accumulate enough critical mass, and then it will become a black hole. So this black hole then goes through the Bondi accretion and then consumes the host neutron star. Good. Now, we have a time scale associated to each processes. And in the appendix, we collect all the calculation, and we show that TC is much longer than all these other three time scale. So the capture time actually sets the implosion time for this case. And it's very easy to parameterize because of that. Good. So then we have a way to parameterize it. We just have this TC and divide it out by rho x, or divide it out by this number. Then you can have a constant. So what does this constant mean? This constant means that I remove the location dependence of this neutron star implosion by dark matter. Because there are places that has faster dark matter moving faster, or places has higher density, but we don't want that to complicate us. So we just have this. So for a given model, you can directly link this parameter to the dark matter mass. Okay, so the scatter case was considered by this group of people long ago. Good. And we also give some characteristic time scale here. Oh, this is assuming this is equal to 10 to the minus 45 centimeters squared. Good. Then we continue. Now we have this parameterization. I want to see how the neutron star implosion rate is depending on this parameterization. So we plot the implosion rate incorporating the neutron star burst rate and the capture rate for the position of a galaxy. And you might expect that this curve should go down like this monotonically, because this TC times rho x divided by Vx is telling you how fast the neutron star should be imploded. So why is this not going like this? The reason is because a lot of the neutron star has already been imploded, so you cannot further implode it. It's already a black hole. So it will just have a preferred, so the rate goes like this. And yeah, so I will talk about this a little bit more later. Now we understand the implosion rate. Let's look at more about the R process and kilonova. We want to consider the preferred and constrained dark matter implosion parameter space. Now, there are three possible R process sources. So neutrons can be ejected by neutrino wind from the core collapse supernova. Also, the merging neutron star binary can also eject the neutron dense fluid. And finally, the implosion can also eject a lot of neutron-rich fluid, and the rate is given here. It's given in the previous slide. So the neutron-rich fluid will then beta decay, and this beta decay will give you kilonova event. Kilonova is just 1,000 nova. It's just very bright, but not as bright as supernova. And then it will form heavy neutron-rich element. So determined by this paper, there's total of 10 to the 4th solar mass R process elements produced in Milky Way. Good. So now we can try to match this element abundance to the production. So I would say if neutron star implosions are responsible for all the R process elements, then we can match the curve. So I can say the total neutron star ejected has to be equal or smaller than this number that we determined. So on this curve, this curve just assumes different total number of neutron stars. I say that the x-axis is the ejection mass per neutron star implosion. So if I make that assumption, everything far on the right-hand side will be excluded. And near this curve, it will be the matching part that you can produce the amount that can give you the right R process element abundance. So as Joe always like to joke about, like you can have like xenon produced by this, and then xenon can be used to detect dark matter. So if I'm Gordon, I would call it self-detecting dark matter, just to be fancy. So the constraints are stronger if the neutron star implosion is not responsible for all the R process elements. Good. So everything's good. Good. Then DS can also put bounds on it. So DES is the dark energy survey that has published a wide field optical search for kilonova done by Dr. In 2017. And it is
not a doctor yet.
Oh, he's not a doctor yet.
Master doctor.
So Kasson and other people, they determined that the kilonova light curve only depends on the mass and the velocity of the neutron fluid ejected. So if you assume the velocity ejection is beta to the, it's like 0.3 speed of light, then you can also set a bound for this dark matter implosion parameter space. And the interesting thing would be that once you have a better survey, you can actually like rule out the possibility of this using this to explain the R process element. So you say maybe it's not working. Okay. Good, but you have to be go like way up, so it probably take a long time. Good. Now we also have the further optical signature from the neutron star implosion. So it's something called quiet kilonova and its morphology. Quiet kilonova is a kilonova event that's from neutron star implosions, but not from neutron star, or neutron star black hole mergers. So for the merger, you will have this gravitational signature that we see all the time. But for the kilonova that is from neutron star implosion, it wouldn't have the merger signature. It could have some weaker gravitational wave signature, but it's much harder to see and cannot be searched by LIGO or Virgo. So it's without detectable merger signature, so we call it quiet because it doesn't have this signature. Okay. Now we can have this gold donut since it's related to the R process that can give you gold. So this is the kilonova rate. So this is a bit complicated. So we pick two benchmark points. ADM1 is a faster imploding dark matter, so the number is smaller, it means it's faster to be imploded. ADM2 is slower to be imploded. So the faster you implode things in the center of the galaxy, because the dark matter it has higher density, so everything is imploded in the center. So you'll find out there is a ring or donut-ish shape of implosion that you can see, and we just plot the rate. Yeah. And it's per year, per KPC. And then you also have the smaller donut because there's less that is imploded. So the donut is just smaller. So faster implosion, bigger donut, slower implosion, smaller donut. We will use this again later. And this is interesting. If you have a great, like perfect telescope and you see this, this will be a very, very interesting signature. But it's not very easy to see to the center of the galaxy as we know. Then we have this black merger that is the gravitational wave signature from the converted neutron star, and neutron star black hole merger. There is this putative mass gap between neutron stars and black holes. Neutron stars are very light and black holes are heavier. There's a good reason for neutron star, but for black hole, the mass gap is not fully understood yet. So with this conversion, you can create very light solar mass black hole merger. So they will be interesting. These are merger events without optical follow-on, so we call them black merger. So you will ask how much of the neutron star merger are converted into the black hole merger. So we plot the fraction of the conversion rate. So you can see that the most interesting thing is that in the center of the galaxy, every neutron star merger is converted for these two benchmark points we consider. Means that if you can actually see to the center of the galaxy, you should see no neutron star merger. So of course you can say, oh, let's use LIGO and Virgo to see the merger signature, and we use BlackGEM, this kind of telescope that is designed to see the optical follow-on. And if you don't see any, maybe you have some signature, but it's very hard to confirm a black merger. So we want to ask, what's our best chance to see this? So since we understand the black merger, we want to use the altered neutron star or neutron star black hole galactic merger distribution to test the dark matter induced implosion. So it's something called bright merger or merger kilonova. It's the usual merger, neutron star black hole merger. but some of them are converted into black merger. So the distribution will be affected, depends on the implosion rate. Now this has both LIGO-Virgo signature and can be confirmed by Black Jam or other telescope that is designed for this purpose. So you have the no implosion scenario. This is the neutron star merger distribution. It will be converted, the distribution will be affected. This is the CDF. The CDF will be changed if you have implosion. And these are the two benchmark points. Now, I don't want to just do a benchmark point. I want a continuous parameter. So I have this continuous parameter. And then we can do the KS test. So each of the point, I can run the experiment many, many times to see how many events do I need for the CDF in order to distinguish the two distribution. Good. So this purple curve are the number of events that you require to determine in the two sigma sense between this distribution, the purple one, and the other. So the upper one is the upper quantile, the lower one is the lower quantile. Dash upper one is the, so it's the upper quantile, lower quantile, because we do a repeated experiment, numerical experiment. And different neutron star distribution model does not change the result that much. Okay, good. Now that we have this merger plus optical signature, let's move on to the, that we understand it, let's move on to the final signature, that is the possible radio signature. Fast radio burst. So we don't really understand what is fast radio burst. It's an unexplained millisecond long radio pulses spanning a large range of radio frequencies, first identified in 2007 and from the archive data in Australia in 2001 in this Parkes Observatory. There's around 20 of these FRB that is detected. And this figure is from Thornton et al. In 2013. These are the FRB events. So it has high output and high sky rate. Dark matter-induced neutron star implosion may be the source of FRBs. The electromagnetic energy released by the neutron star implosion can match what is required for FRB. So we improve the calculation by this group of people, and we use the realistic star formation history and the neutron star distribution, as we discussed, and then we can have the matching curve again. So we can match the neutron star implosion to the FRB rate. So these three rates are like high rate, medium rate, low rate, determined, like estimated by the survey. So we're coming to the final signature. So with the FRB, again, you can do the statistical test. But this is not directly testing on the dark matter model. It's testing on the FRB caused by the dark matter-induced neutron star, or FRB is caused by the normal neutron star. So if FRB is caused by aliens, you can also test it this way, like a very heavy alien spinning or something. All right. So it needs to localize the FRB to 1 kiloparsec in the host galaxy. So FRB can possibly be located by Chime and Hyrax. Both are having that Pathfinder like doing very fantastic job, and they will be complete their construction very soon. And we'll take data very soon. So again, we plot the distribution CDF, and then we do the KS test to determine the upper quantile, medium, and lower quantile to distinguish these scenarios. So I reached my conclusion. So this FRB donut is the same distribution as the kilonova donut because both of them are created by neutron star implosion. Okay, I reached my conclusion. Asymmetric dark matter implodes neutron star and give novel astrophysical signatures. Kilonova, seen by telescope like dark DES and Black Jam, merger signatures by LIGO, Virgo, and located FRBs by radio arrays like Chime and Hyrax can be applied to test dark matter implosion scenarios. We should explore similar or different models for neutron star implosion and conduct more detailed analysis on all these physical phenomena. Thank you. So I like this quote from Oscar Wilde. that we're all in the gutter, but some of us are looking at the star. So I think it's a very good comment on searching for new physics. Good. And thank you. Also thank Robert and Masha and Betty and Chen Yi for listening to my practice talk.
Yeah. Hey, so, the first one, so you mentioned that the Newton's second equation creates also a gravitational signal, right? Gravitational wave signal.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you estimate that?
We estimated the rate, I cannot remember off the top of my head.
Because you have like a quantum moment.
That's right.
So how do you, because in the equation, in the late stages becomes, it's not calculable. Right? You cannot control actually how the state changes. So how do you estimate?
Yes, I think we found a paper that calculated that, and there's a rate estimation, the strain estimation. I can show you the result later. I just can't remember on top of my head. Yeah, we have that in the paper. If you open the paper, it's in the final stage that we have the strain. It's, I probably remember, maybe I don't remember. 10 to the minus 22 for the 2-1 KPC.
But what creates the quantum moment?
Yes, it's the neutron star that is not perfectly symmetric.
Okay, so you start because of the rotation.
That's right.
So if you have like an event one, then you just assume that you go to a black hole.
Yeah, you like rotate. Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, you can think about it as like there is a ant towel or something, like I don't know how to say it. Like there's something on the ball. Like, and you just rotate it very fast. I think they do this kind of, and they also have some simulation, I believe. But I agree with you, it's very murky to do the calculation.
Yep. So the second thing I want to ask is actually, so on this merger of black hole that came from Newton's star system that imploded, right? So this sort of like merges through what? The gravitational, inspire, like they just pass each other and they capture gravitationally.
Oh, so there were the normal neutron star merger. But then eventually the neutron star in a merger got imploded. Yeah. And it's become black hole merger.
Exactly. So yeah. How do you estimate the rate actually of this sort of like neutron star
merger? The rate is saying the merger. But you are saying the merger signature or?
Yeah, so what I'm trying to say is like that. I mean, there are two ways to perform the
merger. Oh, yeah, that's right.
There's more than two. I mean, one is to say that, okay, I have like neutrons and neutrons that they just pass each other, they lose energy in gravitational wave emission, and then they capture each other. But in principle, I mean, since most of stars actually are forming in binaries, you would actually, you know, form the neutrons and neutrons in much higher rate.
Yeah, we didn't do a detailed calculation of that, but yeah.
So how do you calculate the merger rate?
Oh, we didn't directly give the merger rate. We were just saying how much fraction will be converted.
Okay.
But we didn't really. Yeah, that would be interesting to do, of course, a detail, and there's a lot of simulation we can do. But it's estimated. Yeah. LIGO has the estimation, but like it's not like very precise. Yeah, LIGO has upper bound, but yeah.
Next question.
Yes. What question? So, isn't there a repeating FRB?
Yes, that's right. So, I think the best explanation for repeating FRB are like a magnetar or something, like it will repeating. So, for our model, it may be harder to explain that, and we don't expect to explain it, yeah. But that's a good, yeah, the 12.2201 or something like that. Yeah, that one is repeating, and actually that one is good in the sense that you can easier to locate those because you have repeating signature. Yeah.
Thank you again.
Thanks.